To Lost in Science for another week. My name is Claire, and this week we have a number of guests in the studio chatting about different things that are happening in the world of science and science communication. I'm going to be talking to Ellie and Kathy from Remember the Wild that have a new initiative called Connected to Port Phillip, which is all about connecting the communities around Port Phillip, so Melbourne, Geelong, down the Bellarine Peninsula and the Mornington Peninsula, to the diverse ecosystems within Port Phillip Bay. So think Australian fur seals and penguins and, as I found out, giant swarms of crabs, huge spider crabs. I didn't even know that they were in Port Phillip. Incredible. Anyway, they're having a music festival, Day by the Bay, happening on the 23rd of March. So we're going to hear all about that. Chris, what do you have for us today?
Well, this time of year, kind of your March, April time of year, every year we get to speak to a few comedians from coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival to doing science comedy.
Great. I love hearing science-related comedians.
Yeah.
They are punny and funny.
They are, as you say, they're, you can learn something and you can also probably laugh a bit as well.
Make you laugh, they make you think.
Yes, that's right. So this week's victim is none other than science communicator Sean Elliott, who will be talking about his show that he's got, the comedy festival, called Tesla, Death Rays and Elephants. So it's about Nikola Tesla, not about the car guy.
The original Tesla.
Is this about the rivalry between Tesla and Edison?
That is touched on. But there is a lot of peculiar
the elephant.
Yeah, there's a lot of peculiar things about
Nikola
Tesla.
Are you talking about the elephant in the room?
No, I'm talking about the elephant in the battery, but anyway.
All right. Elephant in the battery?
Yes. So, yes.
Let's just leave that one there.
Yeah, we will. You'll find out about that. Yeah, so we are talking to Sean Elliott, and he has some tickets to give away to his show. So stay tuned for a chance to get some tickets to a comedy show.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear from Sean, Ellie and Kathy telling our three guests on Lost in Science. On with the show. Okay, I have a question for listeners. Now, where in Australia do you have more unique species than you do on the Great Barrier Reef, but they are living in close proximity to over 4 million people? Well, it is none other than Port Phillip Bay, where the ocean meets Melbourne and Geelong. Connected to Port Phillip is a new initiative to celebrate the bay and foster environmental stewardship. And my guests today are leading the charge. Ellie Michaelides and Kathy Cavallo from Remember the Wild, welcome to Lost in Science.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Now, tell us all about Connected to Port Phillip.
Connected to Port Phillip is all about celebrating Port Phillip Bay as a community. A lot of the time, if you're not living right on the water's edge, you can forget your proximity to it and how important it is for our culture throughout the catchment. Around the bay and within the catchment that contributes to Port Phillip Bay, so that's where water will be draining into the creeks and things that will go into the bay. There's more than 4 million people living in those areas, so that actually makes us the densest catchment in Australia. So obviously the people living in that area, we have a big effect on the bay, but it also has a really big effect on how we see ourselves as Melburnians and people from Geelong and things. So pretty important to protect.
So why is it important to celebrate Port Phillip?
Because it's just an incredibly unique and fascinating area. It's got so many different marine habitats from, you know, the salt marsh and coastal tea tree and things around the edges, in through the seagrass beds and coastal reefs and things into the deeper, sandier bits of the bay. There's so much going on there, and for a bay that's surrounded by so many people, it's really incredibly healthy. It's actually quite incredible how healthy it is for the density of the population.
And do you mean healthy from an ecological point of view?
Yeah, I do. So we've still got some really healthy reef ecosystems and really healthy seagrass. I guess there's threatened communities. There are a lot of threatened communities in the bay, but overall, as a wider ecosystem, it functions really well still. But that's something that we're kind of teetering on the edge of at the moment, as any place with a big population will do. So with things like the drought and climate change and pollutants and nutrients that we're putting into the water, we're having quite a big effect on the region. And we're at a point now where people need to be thinking about how they affect it. So things like the urchin barrens that are popping up. So
urchin barrens?
Yeah. So we have these really beautiful brown algal reefs around the bay, especially around the northern end and stuff. And sea urchins, there's a native sea urchin in our area that's actually just kind of blooming in massive numbers at the moment. And when this happens around the world, they tend to chow down on all of the algaes, like, you know, grazing cattle, and they really denude the area so that you end up with what's called an urchin barren. And actually,
so
yes,
literally a place that urchins have just made a barren landscape or seascape as it is.
Totally. Yeah, I actually swam off Beaumaris yesterday or the day before on the sea slug survey, and
that's also very cool. We can talk about the sea slug survey later.
It was very fun. But just offshore, like, you know, only 20 metres offshore, it went from a seagrass and seaweed kind of amazing environment to this completely scuzzy brown coated rock area. And what happens with the urchins is that they eat their way down to the ground, but then they can eat, like, the crappy filamentous algae that pops up. So once you've got an urchin barren, it's a real phase shift in terms of the ecosystem. So we need to be on top of these things because our bay at the moment is really healthy, but it is teetering.
And for listeners who aren't in the Victoria or Melbourne region, what are some of the sort of iconic species that we do find in Port Phillip?
So one of the things that I think is the most amazing is our spider crab migration.
Whoa!
So about once every year, usually when the temperature in the bay, the water temperature starts going down again, we'll have this mass aggregation of spider crabs, giant spider crabs, coming up from outside the bay and from the deepest parts of the bay to the edges, where they all gather en masse and start shedding off their shells and mating, and it's absolutely incredible. I think it's been on Attenborough docos, and you can just get in the water with these enormous spider crabs. And just seeing something en masse like that is really exciting. So everybody, all the divers in Melbourne just nerd out on it.
I love I love that you're like, oh, yeah, you just jump in the water with a whole bunch of spider crabs while they're, they're molting.
Well, it's kind of funny because
they're giant, aren't they?
They are. They're at least 30 or more centimetres across.
Incredible.
But it's cool because that often happens around the southern Mornington Peninsula, and so the community down there is kind of a bit of stewards for it as well. So you can see these things from the pier, so it's something that everyone can connect with. We've also got two different species of dolphins in the bay, the common dolphins and the bottlenose dolphins. And the common dolphins in there are pretty amazing because that's usually an offshore species. So we have this weird population of about 30 or so, mostly females with their babies. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. So it's an extremely diverse habitat, and it's definitely worth celebrating. And one way that the Connected to Port Phillip initiative is celebrating it is through a festival, or actually two festivals. Can you tell us a bit about them?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got two festivals. They're called Day by the Bay. The first one happened in Mornington last month, and the next one's coming up this weekend, Saturday 23rd of March, at the Point Cook Coastal Park.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, which is great. It's really nice to get out to the west, and Point Cook Coastal Park and that whole area is one of those areas that people don't really know much about. They don't know that there's amazing marine sanctuaries out there, and it's a really nice place. So we'll be heading out there on Saturday. We've got a lineup of awesome Melbourne live music coming up. We've got Mojo Juju as the headline act.
Fantastic.
Plus Orb Weavers, which are a Melbourne act that are really in touch with the bay. So they're perfect, really, for this festival.
Orb Weavers being a type of spider.
Exactly.
Wow.
How's that?
Great.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Plus, we've got Jess Ribeiro, Hextet, Leah Senior, and Way Dynamic that will all be playing at the festival. We've got a whole bunch of awesome community stallholders. We've got really fun activities for all ages. So it's a family-friendly event. It's alcohol-free as well. We've got an ice carving activity happening, which is very cool. Nature connection activities, all kinds of fun things.
Now, I imagine when you are a sustainability and environmental sort of initiative, creating music festival that sort of aligns with those values can be sort of challenging. So what's been your approach to sustainability with this festival?
So we're really proud that this festival is plastic free. So we're working with Be Alternative to manage the waste at the festival. All of the vendors, we've got food trucks there, all of the vendors will be using compostable packaging. And if you take your own containers and cutlery and everything, you get a discount on the food as well, which is a really great initiative. We've also got a shuttle bus running between Williams Landing train station and the festival for those who don't drive. And also to try to reduce the number of cars that will be coming along to the festival.
And you might have already mentioned this and I missed it, but it is a free festival?
It's a free festival.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Oh, seeing Mojo Juju for free.
I know.
Incredible.
Get down there.
Totally. Now, we've got listeners all around Australia. So what can communities around Australia learn from the Connected to Port Phillip initiative and the Day by the Bay as well?
So I guess really broadly, just an appreciation for the nature that's around us. You don't have to go far from where you live to experience really amazing natural areas, and we're really trying to celebrate those and get people out and about in them.
I think what we found from the first Day by the Bay is that the people that were walk-ins off the street that didn't really know what was going on came away with something really amazing that they hadn't expected from their day, because they were just coming over for the food trucks and then they met some of the like amazing different research groups and not-for-profits from around the bay and they became engaged. Like, it's actually, you just need to expose people to things for them to take an interest in what's going on. And, you know, you can't see a dolphin or a penguin or like a weedy sea dragon or anything like that and not be excited about it. So I think a big part of what we are trying to do is to bring those experiences closer to people. And I think that is something that people around in groups around Australia can take up, because they just need to bring what they're passionate about to the front, because people, it's contagious. The other thing, sorry, I think that one thing that you can underestimate as a community group is the other groups that are active in your area and how you're all working towards the same message. You can really mobilise that kind of group. You can mobilise all the groups to deliver that message in one kind of united front, so that everyone's finding out about the dolphins and the fish and the urchin barons and everything in the same day, rather than getting one perspective, you know. And it's really hard for a lot of small not-for-profits to toot their own horn, kind of. So that's a big part of what we try and do at Remember the Wild, is to tell those stories and bring those people closer to the community.
Wonderful. Now, how can people get in touch? How can they follow you? How can they find out more about Day by the Bay and Connected to Port Phillip?
So our website is connectedtoportphillip.com.
Great. Very descriptive.
Yes. Easy to find.
And if you head to the website, if you're in Melbourne and you want to come to the festivals, you can head to the website. There's a tab there about the festival at Point Cook this weekend.
Yep. So that's Saturday the 23rd of March.
Yeah. Sure is.
And then if you want to learn more on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, we've got handles for both Remember the Wild and Connected to Port Phillip. To follow the Connected to Port Phillip initiative on Facebook, just look up Connected to Port Phillip. On Twitter, it's Love Port Phillip, and Phillip's with two L's for those out of state. And on Instagram, it's actually Connected to Port Phillip, but with a 2 instead of T-O, Connected to Port Phillip. So Remember the Wild is Australia's first nature engagement charity, so we work nationwide. So if you want to get involved in the story there, look up Remember the Wild on Facebook or Instagram, or if you're looking on Twitter, you can find us at RTW_Oz, like AUS.
Well, Kathy, Ellie, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us on Lost in Science today. And check out Day by the Bay if you're in and around the Port Phillip, Point Cook area on Saturday, March 23rd. And definitely find Remember the Wild and connected to Port Phillip on the socials. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Okay, you are listening to Lost in Science, and it's that time of year when we get to talk to our favourite science comedians. And Sean M. Elliott is one of those. This year he's performing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in a show called Tesla, Death Rays and Elephants. Sean, so many questions.
Oh, thank you, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Now, which Tesla, can we start with that, are we talking about? Because there is like electric cars that a lot of people are perhaps kind of interested in.
Absolutely.
At the moment.
The name Tesla, it's sort of really quite evocative of things that are going on out there at the moment. So you've got the Tesla cars and so on. But no, this is all about Nikola Tesla, who was an electrical engineer and scientist way back in the late 19th century.
Yes, a rival of Edison, I believe.
Well, interestingly enough, they started off as he went to work for the Edison Company. And Edison helped to get him to America, but yeah, then eventually there was a bit of a brouhaha.
Okay, all right. Now I don't want you to tell the whole story. You've read the whole show here, but apart from brouhahas with Edison, why is Nikola Tesla so important and worthy of a show at the International Comedy Festival?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because for a lot of people, He's kind of seen as this person, this great towering figure, and yet when you start to scratch away at the surface of it, some of the things that are sometimes put laid at his feet as having discovered, the claims are a little bit overstated. And so this show is hoping to kind of look at him and some of these claims and pull them apart a little bit.
Can you give us a taste? What's a notable claim? Because, I mean, I have heard a lot about Nikola Tesla.
Well,
can I tell you, the first time I heard of him was, in fact, in my nerdy youth, I encountered a UFO magazine that claimed he was some sort of alien genius, perhaps on the planet Venus. And I thought, now that sounds a bit implausible.
This wasn't that limerick, was it?
No.
Yeah, the young man from Venus.
No.
Never mind. Anyway, he is kind of down as one of these almost New Agey kind of scientists, because there's this huge amount of mystique around him. But before we get to the mystique, I just want to touch on the thing that I think he is a genius for, and it's because of his work in AC electricity. And these things...
So AC, that is...
alternating current.
Right.
So if you imagine getting a 9-volt battery and putting it on your tongue, actually don't do that, but... that's direct current. Yeah, direct current, it flows from one side of the battery around to the other side. But alternating current, if you had an electrical line, it's moving back and forth along that line at a particular rate. Our rooms here have 50 hertz, so 50 times a second AC electricity is coming into these rooms.
So this was coming out of your power socket.
Out of your power socket.
You shouldn't stick your tongue on that either.
Definitely don't stick your tongue on that one. And his particular interest was looking at AC electricity, and because at that time, DC electricity was well known, well used, and was being used in electrical motors and so on. But the interesting thing was, could you make an electrical motor using AC? And an AC head motor had been made. And now the main feature of these motors was that they needed a magnet. They needed a magnet inside them in order to work. But where Tesla's genius came in was that he figured out, hang on a second, I can actually do this without a magnet. I can actually use the fact that when we put electricity along a wire, we get a magnetic field forming around it, and we'll use that as the magnet. And in setting this up in his motor, managed to make it in such a way that the magnetic field moves around, and he invented this thing called an induction motor. And that induction motor design has, I saw a figure, it was something like, you know, 90% of our electrical needs go into powering induction motors, because they are just not only incredibly useful, but also very efficient and quite powerful, make good use of the electricity that's delivered to them. So that's his genius, and that's what he's well known for. And then he was suddenly had attributed to him a whole bunch of other things. For instance, a death ray.
Yeah, I've heard about this death ray. Well, I've heard about the title of your show, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah.
So death rays and elephants. The elephant is a different tragic story and has more to do with a fight that happened about AC versus DC at the time. But putting a pin in that one, the death ray was... In a lot of ways, it feels like towards the twilight of his life, it was a last-ditch effort for him to get investors on board. He was looking for ideas. He was looking for money. He was racking up debts all over the place. He was staying at hotels and not paying the bills. And he announced that he had this brand-new plan for a death ray. And the world being where it was at the moment, at that time, it was just out of World War One. People were looking for the next best weapon, just in case nations go to war again. And he said, hey, I've got it. I've got this machine. It's going to be able to shoot aircraft out the sky. It's going to be able to mow down armies in the field. And I've got the plans for it right here. And everyone went, great, show us. And he said, no. And that's the way it stayed for quite some time, up until his death. And then on his death, the FBI themselves raided his hotel room and found a box that said death ray plans. And it actually said on the outside, somewhere around it, it was indicated that you shouldn't open this box because a death ray is going to kill you. And nevertheless, they took the box and they took it to a university, and there was a professor there who examined the box. They opened it up and didn't get killed. Instead, there was this simple electric circuit that was inside there that was a common electric circuit called a Wheatstone bridge, and nothing else except for a whole bunch of papers. And this professor went through them all. Incidentally, this professor's name was Trump. He was the uncle of the current United States president. Now, with a figure with all of this story and other attachments to great figures, of course, other stories start to accumulate, like lint on a sweater.
Great. So, clearly, people coming to your show will hear a lot of interesting stories and learn some science. What else can they expect?
Well... one of the great inventions that Tesla made was something called a Tesla coil. And a Tesla coil was Tesla's interest in high-voltage electricity. And if anyone's been to ScienceWorks, there is a massive Tesla coil down there. It's 5 meters tall, and it puts out these great big arcs of electricity, 2 meters long. And at my show, you're not going to see that. Instead, you're going to see my Tesla coil. It's about 30 centimeters tall. It puts out pretty nice sparks. And that was an ordeal to try and get a Tesla coil up and running in time for the show. Have you done much by way of soldering, Chris?
A little bit, but not always successfully.
So when I was a kid, we used to... it was a bit of a hobby that my dad got me into to solder stuff. But this particular kit had all sorts of... resistors and all the rest of it needed solder. And so there was long nights spent a few months ago just simply whiling the time away soldering components into this board to eventually get this Tesla coil. And I had it set up in my kitchen. and everything was right. The dog was kept away, and I plugged it in and switched it on, and the breaker for the house got set off. And that's the way I did for the next week or so. The damn thing wasn't working. So anyway, long and short of it is it's working now. It's only zapped the dog once, and things are going good.
Great. So there will actually be lightning at your show.
There will be lightning, albeit very, very small lightning.
Excellent. The sparks are flying already. Okay. Okay, Sean Elliott, now I believe your show is on every Saturday and Sunday during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yes, yes, it is, as well as over Easter, where it's on Good Friday as well.
And it is 4 o'clock in the afternoon, is that correct?
That's right, 4 o'clock.
Whereabouts?
At the Imperial Hotel, which is in Spring Street, just opposite Parliament House. Good view of Parliament.
Brilliant. And how can people find out more and book tickets?
Best way is to go to the International Comedy Festival website, Melbourne International Comedy Festival website, and if they do a search for Tesla, they should be able to find the Tesla page, and that will take you through the booking and everything there.
And where else can people find you on the internet?
Well, they can go to my Twitter, which is at Sean M. Elliott. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, and Elliott with two T's. And there's other information through that page.
Great. And I understand that you have some tickets to give away to Lost in Science listeners.
That's right. I have got 5 double passes that can be used in the opening weekend. So basically, if we're able to get some names and contact addresses, we'll be able to get those tickets out to people.
Fantastic. If you would like a double pass to the opening weekend of Sean's show, Tesla Death Ray Elephants, please email us at lostinsci@gmail.com. That is lostinsci@gmail.com with your name, and I'll probably get your email address from the email. But yes, and we have 5 of those to give away. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Sean.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Really,
and yeah, best of luck for comedy.
That's all we have time for on another episode of Lost in Science. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for listening. And a big thank you to our guests today, Ellie Michaelides, Kathy Cavallo, and Sean M. Elliott. Lost in Science is recorded in the studios of 3CR in Melbourne and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network with the kind support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Please get in touch with us. Ask us your science questions. We love hearing from you and we love trying to answer your questions. You can track us down at lostinsci@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at lostinscience1 or find us on Facebook. We are Lost in Science on 3CR on that platform as well. Or just find us when we're on the radio again next week when Claire, Stu and Chris will get lost in science.
Teach it to your kids.